do today, or at least attempt to do, is when you came in, you got a bulletin, and in that bulletin is an outline where you can follow along with. And you'll see this morning that we're going to talk about the guardians of the truth. I believe moms, more than anything else, really stand as a sentinel, a guard, if you will, speaking truth into the lives of kids. I also want to make you aware of the tear-off section. If you're here and you're a guest, we'd love to be able to connect with you. You can fill that out, drop that off in the offering plates. Or if you have any prayer requests, you can write that down there and drop it in as well and know that we'll be praying with you. But moms, you are so special, and we want to honor you today. And I don't want it to just be about, let's just brag on moms because it's Mom's Day and they got to have it. I want to take some time and brag on you in a way of bringing it back to the Word of God, because truth is extremely important. Can we all agree on that? Okay? And on this Mother's Day, we celebrate the gift that God has given us. Moms really are special. And they're like those who guard the truth in life. Now, just because you guard timeless truths in life doesn't mean everybody follows them, right? But you guard that, you lead that, and I'll explain what I mean by that in just a moment. I say moms are guardians and sentinels, if you will, of truths, in that it's a special breed, and this is especially true of veteran moms, right? How many of you know what I mean when I say a veteran mom? You know what a veteran mom is, okay? It's kind of like if you were to go to the mall, and you were to go into the mall and walk around, and you saw a novice mom, her first time being a mom, they would have all the new gear, and they'd be, little Johnny, come over here, come on, Sissy, no, don't touch that, come on over here, that's a novice mom. A veteran mom says, get over here, and when they don't do it, whack, get in line, I said. That's a veteran mom, right? Some time ago, I read an article giving some characteristics of these veteran moms. Here's just a few of them. So it starts off with, you know you're a veteran mom when, okay? They were very interesting, but you know you're a veteran mom when your kid swallows a quarter and she says, I'm deducting that out of your allowance. That's a veteran mom right there, okay? A veteran mom, if you're drinking coffee, don't sip right now, okay? A veteran mom can see her kid throw up and tries to catch it. I know some veteran moms that won't do that, okay? That's kind of a gross one, but a veteran moms can also watch other kids throw up and it doesn't affect their day at all, right? Because they've seen it so much raising their children. You know you're a veteran mom if you use your saliva to clean your kid's face. You are a veteran mom. Now, veteran moms, we have them all around us. They're all around us, and they're wonderful. They're wonderful as mentors, especially for those who are novice moms, new to being a mom. God places them as a gift right in your midst, and they're moms who are always teaching and instructing and helping the new moms along. And recently, I saw a few things about how moms are always teaching, and I got thinking, and maybe this is just my weird mind, okay, because I do have a weird mind. But I thought I'd show you a few pictures, and I thought, go ahead and throw the first one up here. This is a picture of Mona Lisa. And I got thinking to myself, man, if Mona Lisa's mom could talk to her right now, and she looked at her, I'm talking veteran mom, right? A veteran mom would go, Mona, you become a very popular, all the money we spent on braces, couldn't you crack a little bit better smile for the portrait? You know what I mean? That would be a veteran mom response, wouldn't it? How about this one? Y'all remember the phrase, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And we all learned this little rhyme as a kid, and we're like, oh, poor Humpty. But I think a veteran mom would have showed up at the emergency room and said, if I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, stay off that wall. Serves you right. You know, that's a veteran mom. Let's try another one. This is the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo had painted, and it's a very well-known thing, but I could only imagine Michelangelo's mom kind of hollering at him, Mikey, can't you just draw on paper like other kids? You always got to scribble on the walls and the ceiling. You know how hard it's going to be to get that out of the walls, and that would be a veteran mom response. Here's my last one. This pretty much says it all. I can just hear a veteran mom now going, Albert, it's your senior pictures. Can you do something with that hair? Almost every photo, though. It's because he's playing with too much electricity or something. I don't know. But veteran moms always have a response, right? I mean, they're just there. And there's something about moms. There's a bond. This is my opinion. This is not based on necessarily the Word of God or any medical training, because I've had none. But just from observation, even in my home, there's a special, unique bond that mom has with daughter, that mom has with son, that I don't have as a father. Now, I don't miss out on anything. It's not like, oh, poor Jim. No. I'm not a mom. I'm dad. Dad will get to you next month. But there's a unique bond that's there that God gives between a mother and her child. And it's just something that's cultivated. And God uses you as moms to speak truth into the lives of the next generation. And I've seen it happen in our own home. I had to sit down and think a minute. I'm like, what have I seen? And so I didn't tell Lisa I was doing it first service because I didn't want her to change my mind. But this is what I've observed. Not that she would do that. But I watched her as she raised the kids say things like this. When somebody would give something to our kids, you know, like any other kids, sometimes they'd just be like, you know. And Lisa would say, tell them thank you for what they gave you. You know, that was a timeless truth. You might be like, well, that was piddly. That was nothing. Do you know how many people have not learned that principle to just simply say thank you? I watched her as she would tell the kids, when people talk to you or you talk to people, look them in the eye. And I'm like, oh, you know. And then the other one I remembered was this. She would always tell them, when people say hello to you, you have to say hello back to them. Now you might say, well, that's kind of, you know, ridiculous. But no, it's a timeless truth that you learn. Something very simple that if you can't learn to do it at a young age, you're going to potentially fail at it as an adult. Timeless truth. So you moms, when you're teaching kids things like that, you might think, well, this is just worthless, you know. Dads don't really pay attention, you know. Somebody says hello to them, whatever. And they can kind of grunt and groan and keep walking, right? But moms, you teach them those truths that never change or should never change. And over the years, I've found that that's been invaluable. And I could sit there and go, what makes her so special? Jesus. And what God does in you as moms. Because there's something that God does through us as dads, whether we're men, women, single, married, whatever, there's always value that's placed there. But there's a uniqueness of being a mom. There's these great truths that are timeless, and it's up to moms to pass those along. And this is what the Bible says. The greatest truths are timeless. Moms don't often come up with newfangled truths, okay? They don't usually just start pulling stuff out of the sky and start making up truth. You know, trust me, I know sometimes we pull stuff out of the sky. I'm talking about truths, though. You see, we're not talking about a new philosophy here. We're not talking about some new information that you learn in college or that you learn in universities. You know, I never, when I was in school or college or any of the schools I was in, I never saw a class on Mothering 101 or Fathering 101. Now, that said, we could probably use them. We could probably use some learning in that area. But my point is simply this. The truths that you pass on, they're timeless. They have not changed, the ones that count. And they are well to do in passing them on to the next generation. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. He said to them, the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, don't get hung up on, you said head of household. Are you saying she's head of household? No. It's not what I'm saying. This is what the Bible's saying. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is made up of not just new things, is what it's saying, but it's made up of old things that you've already learned as well. And when you apply the old, they become new again. There are some principles I learned growing up in my home that were taught to me, and I knew them. Doesn't mean I always wanted to do them. As a matter of fact, I refused to do them for a while. And life did not work well. And eventually I'm like, maybe I should go back to the values that I was taught. And when I did, life started to work smoothly again. Why? Because I went back to the old values, the truths that never change. In this world, it's constantly going to change. Amen? I mean, you look around you And you got people that are giving you messages about if you want to be accepted, if you want to be popular, if you want to be cool, you got to have this home, and you got to have this car, and you got to have this job. The world's going to challenge you to chase notoriety and fame. And I know that we like it, and it's kind of wired into who we are, but never at the cost of not following truth. We're called to lean upon the old things that we've been taught while we're learning new things as well. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's as if moms are the ones who tell us about these timeless truths. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. It's up on the screen. Let's read that one together. You ready? Go. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. Now, what it's talking about is those that are above you. There are boundaries, he's saying, that God has put into place. And he's saying, don't fight against them. Don't fight against the timeless truths. Don't push against them. They've been set there for a reason. And the reason will become clear when you line up with that truth. Someone once wrote about all the things they learned in kindergarten. This is what they've learned in kindergarten. And what he was basically saying is some of the greatest truths that are timeless truths just need to be acted upon. They're old, but they're timeless. He says, these are the things I learned in kindergarten that are still applicable today. Number one, play fair. You remember learning that in kindergarten? Now, that's not fair. Let's be nice, right? It still applies today. That's a timeless truth. Here's the second thing he wrote down. Don't hit people. You don't hit people in kindergarten. You don't or shouldn't hit people as adults. As a matter of fact, you hit people as adults, you're going to jail, right? There's consequences. Number three, he said, put things back where you found them. And all the moms said, amen, right? Put things back where you found them. You learned something learned in preschool that's still applicable, a truth today. Number four, clean up your own mess. It's a timeless truth. Number five, don't take things that don't belong to you, right? Taught, hopefully learned in kindergarten, and hopefully it's something that we live by as adults. Number six, say you're sorry when you've hurt someone. Do you know how much healing there would be in our adult lives if we'd have learned this early on in our childhood? To learn to say I'm sorry. It's like the two hardest words sometimes because we have to humble our heart. Here's number seven. I don't know how much this applies. He learned in kindergarten to flush the toilet. And he said, as adults, you better learn that one too, or you're going to get yourselves in trouble, right? Number eight, when you go out into the world, watch for traffic. You know, you teach kids to look both ways. You teach them to be careful crossing the street. So it is in your adult life. Be very vigilant and be very careful, because there's an enemy that's prowling around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to hit you in the crosswalk. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And you see, these truths are some simple truths that he learned in kindergarten that we learn as adults. But then there's the biblical truths, the foundations that we do not stray from. And these are great truths, and they're timeless. That's why God's word is so special to us here at COTOD, because it contains timeless truths. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. I want you to read that one with me nice and loud. Ready? Go. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Other things may come and go, but the thing that will stand the test of time is the word of God. It will never, his word says he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. He tells us in Isaiah, the word of God, no matter what we go through, no matter what party's in government, no matter what our financial need is, no matter what our relational status is, the word of God stands forever. It'll never be swayed. And it's from the word of God that we develop these truths. And moms, you are crucial for passing them on to that next generation. Other things may come and go, but God's word contains timeless truths. They're timeless and they are true. It doesn't matter how archaic we think it might be. In the end, it will bear out to be truth. And it's that kind of a truth that calibrates your life. You know what I mean by that? You ever feel just off? You have one of those days? You know, I'm off center. I don't feel like I've... You got to calibrate your heart back to truth, back to the Word of God. It was a couple weeks ago. I was having one of those days. You ever have one of those days, by the way, or is it just me? Okay? When it just seems like, where are you, God? Everything's falling apart. I don't have any sense of direction. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what in the world I'm doing. And you realize you're free falling into this, but you don't know what to do to stop it. It's in those moments that you cling to the truth of the Word of God and you recenter yourself. You hold on to that because it's the only thing that won't change. And in a world that's constantly in change, we need to have a strong foundation. And you might say, like I did when I was younger, oh, that's just archaic. That's old thinking. That's the old way. But truth, no matter how old or how new, is truth when it comes from the Word of God. You allow the truth of the Word of God to calibrate or maybe recalibrate your heart. And as moms who would be guardians or sentinels of these timeless truths, there's no greater joy than when they see, moms see their children beginning to set their compass, beginning to set their decisions, beginning to set their futures by truths that are found in the Word of God. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in truth. Amen? To hear my children walking in truth. How true is that? Moms would say, I'm kind of speculating, that they would give up almost anything to see their children walking in truth. There's no greater joy. And so it's almost as if moms are saying this. Your first little bullet is this. They're saying, do life correctly. Do life correctly. Isn't it true we can do life incorrectly? It really is. We can destroy relationships. If you don't believe we can do life incorrectly, talk to me after service and I'll tell you about the ages from 16 to 25, okay? You know, I did life incorrectly. We can destroy, though, when we do life incorrectly, no matter if you like it or not, agree with it or not, the Word of God is true. It stands the test of time. And if you veer from that, it can bring destruction into relationships. We can disrespect people by the way we sit, the way we look at people, the way that we communicate can happen. We can also, though, choose to live life correctly. We have that choice. We can live life correctly. Will we do it correctly all the time? Probably not. You know, is anybody here perfect? Raise your hand and let me see you. Because the moment that you raise your hand, you've now disqualified yourself as being perfect, right? Now, nobody's perfect. Nobody has all the answers. Nobody never, you know, doesn't make mistakes. We all do. So when you're choosing to do life correctly, you'll still make mistakes. But when you fall down, get back up. Don't stay down. I've used it before, but when my kids learned to ride their bike, they'd hop on the bike and Dad would hold the wheel, right? And you got this, you got this. I'm going to let go. Don't let go. You got this. Don't let go. Don't let go. You know, and you're going back and forth and you don't let them know and you let go of the seat. They're doing it on their own. All of a sudden they feel so accomplished and then they crash into a bush. Okay? Do I walk over, pick up the bike, throw it in the dumpster and say, you loser, and walk home? No. If I wouldn't do that, what makes you think that our Heavenly Father would do something like that when we fail? His timeless truths say live life correctly. And when you do make mistakes or fall down, he just simply says, get back up. Psalms chapter 50, verse 32 says, to him who orders his ways aright, I shall show the salvation of God. To him who or her who orders their ways aright, doing life correctly, I will show the salvation of God. Well, I know what salvation is already, Pastor. Let me explain salvation in this context. Salvation in the New Testament is a Greek word which means fulfillment or wholeness. When you are constantly learning to order your way aright or doing life correctly, according to the instructions of the timeless truths of the Word of God, it's as if God is saying this, I will reveal to you what wholeness really is. when you live your life correctly, lined up with the Word of God, you will experience understanding. You'll understand direction you need to take in life. You'll understand what it means to feel whole from the inside out, simply because you're lining yourself up with the Word of God and doing life correctly. I think if any mom here, I'm not looking for feedback, but I think any mom would want that for their child. Do life correctly. Do what you know is right. Make right choices. Say no to what you need to say no to. Say yes to what you need to say yes to. And if you've said yes to the things you should have said no, then work it out. Because there's a day of accountability. There comes a day where we are responsible for the choices that we make. And the last thing we can do, or the last thing that we should do, is take shortcuts. How many of you here have ever taken a shortcut? How many of you here have ever taken a shortcut, and the shortcut took you longer than if you would have just waited in line? You know what I mean? I went out to the store the other day, and there was a line about 1,500 people in it, you know, slight exaggeration. And, you know, I saw people giving up and heading, walking all the way to the other end of the store so they could get stuff. They want a shortcut. I don't want to wait. I've been on trips where I waited for traffic, and I thought, I got a shortcut. I'll go this way. But what I didn't know is there was other construction. It ended up taking me 3 times longer than if I would have just stayed in my lane, if I can say it that way. And I think at times in life, when God is calling us to stay in our lane, the temptation will be there to take a shortcut. But if God has not told you to go that path, it's usually because he knows there's construction that's going to hem you up. Stay in your lane. When you do life correctly, he's saying stay in your lane. Don't take shortcuts. It was about a lot of years ago, I guess. I don't even know what year, but Lisa and we had the opportunity to go suffer for Jesus in Hawaii. You know, it was hot, and there was a conference that was going on there. And there's a pastor there, his name's Wayne Cordero, and he's kind of like a mentor to me. Learned a lot from him. And he was doing a conference, so we went there. And a lot of times people say, oh, it must be rough going to Hawaii, you know, at a conference or a convention. But what they didn't know is that the conference starts at like 7 or 8 in the morning, and because it's so hot there, every building there is like freezing. It's like a meat locker, right? So all day long, I'm sitting in the most beautiful state I can think of, and I'm freezing inside of a building. You know, we get out at 5 o'clock, sun's down or almost down. You know, I'm like, oh, bummer. But the other thing that happened was, and I wasn't aware at first, that in this process, whatever Pastor Wayne does, Pastor Jim will do too. And I didn't know that Pastor Wayne woke up at 6 in the morning and ran 2 miles. Guess who had to wake up at 6 in the morning and run 2 miles? I did not enjoy that. I thought, oh, come on, this is really early. I mean, nobody's awake. I don't want to run 2 miles, but there we were. People are running along the, Ala Moana Beach or something. It's all beautiful down by Waikiki that y'all see on TV, you know. Everyone's like, oh, look at how beautiful it is. And I'm like, I just want to go back to bed. You know, I'm like miserable in Hawaii. And we got back and I showered, we ate breakfast, went to the conference, and at the end of one particular day, Pastor Wayne said, we're going to go for a hike up Diamond Head Mountain. Do you guys know what Diamond Head Mountain is? Okay, it's the big volcanic mountain in Hawaii that anytime you watch Hawaii 5-0 or something and they scan Waikiki Beach, you see that big volcanic mountain? That's Diamond Head, okay? And he said, we're going to hike up Diamond Head Mountain. And I thought, oh, okay. And as we were going up the side, now it's not, they have a path where you can walk up. They prefer you to do the path, but it's still rocky. There's still an incline, and it is hot. And as we were walking up, we got halfway through, and there was a sign off to the right. Pastor Wayne said, stop, hold on a minute. He goes, I want to take a picture of this. And so I took a picture of it too. And it was just a sign that gave direction that was to preserve the life of the mountain. But it had a real spiritual principle to it too. Go ahead and throw that up there. Here's the sign that was on Diamond Head. It said, shortcutting causes severe erosion. Stay on the trail. Now this is coming from a historic mindset that says, don't go running off the trail, because if you go running off trying to play like you're, you know, Steve McGarrett or something like that off of Wi-Fi and run around, you're going to get yourself hurt, and it only brings erosion to the mountain, and we're trying to preserve this. So stay on the trail. Can I tell you today that as moms speak to us about doing life correctly, stay on the trail. Because you get off that trail, it's going to cause erosion in your life and in the life of the people that crosses your path. There's nothing more that God has for us than to be able to share those truths with us through the lives of mom, but we got to stay the course. We got to stay on the path. And I read this, or I saw this sign, and I thought to myself, how true that is. And God is saying, live life according to my ordinances. And we see the breach of that replayed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament alike when people take shortcuts. I don't know if you've been doing this. Some people have been doing the Bible Recap devotional. Tara Lee Cobble, did I get the name right? And she does a devotional each day. And if you've been doing that, you would have read this last week a reading from 1 Samuel and 1 Chronicle that showed David and the people taking a shortcut, like we're talking about. There was a time when David had begun to take back the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines, and it was known by all different Levites that you were not to take the Ark and carry it any other way except on the shoulders of the Levites through poles that were inserted. That's the only way that you carry the Ark of the Covenant, is Levites do that with the poles that are inserted. It was to be respected. No layman was to touch it. It was the priests that were to move it. But they decided to put the Ark on a cart drawn by oxen. And as they began to take it back from the Philistines, the oxen began to stumble. This caused the cart to tip. A man named Uzzah was his name, reached out to stop it in an attempt to help. He put his hand out to stop the Ark from sliding off, and the Bible says that God struck him dead. Now, at that point, David was really troubled, and he questioned why this happened. I mean, after all, the guy was just trying to help, and later on, that was in 1 Samuel. Later on in the book of 1 Chronicles, David's reminiscing about this. And here's what it says in 1 Chronicles 15. It says, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. So you see, they wanted to move the ark, but they wanted to take a shortcut. And it says, you did not carry it at the first. You didn't put first things first, and you didn't listen to what I said. Moms, have you ever had to say that to your kids? Are you listening to me? Did you hear what I said? Listen to me. You know, we say that a lot of times, but God would ask the same of us as his children. Are you listening? Are you listening to how I'm telling you to follow these truths in your life? God is saying there is a way that he wants us to do life, and he wants us to know that we can't compromise or take shortcuts and think that there's not going to be any consequences. Do life correctly. In the areas of relationships, dating, courting someone, court well, is what he's saying. Court, date correctly. You'll often hear people say how, well, everyone's doing it this way, and everyone's doing it that way, and it doesn't matter what others are doing out there. Do it correctly. You do life right. And some will say, well, that's so archaic. But though it might seem archaic to you, it's still a timeless truth. You know, my son, he likes to call me old. I am not old, by the way. Can I get a big amen on that one? Help me out a little bit, all right, thank you. But he'll come home and he'll see, hey, old man, what's happening? And I'll be like, I'll show you, old, bam, and we'll start wrestling around and, you know, having a good time. There's coming a day that he's literally going to be able to take me out. Not yet, but that day's coming. And he may call me old, and he may tell me that, oh, the way I think and the way I feel, you know, is older. But it doesn't. If it's a truth, it doesn't matter. If it's old, new, right, wrong, left, right, up, down, you know, whatever. If it's a truth, it's a truth. And it doesn't change. And so some people will say this. Well, that's archaic in your thinking. No, it's a timeless truth. There's something very different between something that's old-fashioned and something that is timeless. See, we as children are taught to, or moms are teaching us, your second bullet is this, to show some respect. Moms are teaching, yes, to do life correctly, but also to show some respect. Honor those who God has placed in your life, and the key to it all is honor. It's about honoring. Honor those whom God has placed in your life. God is saying that one of the most important timeless truths will be to honor those whom he has placed in your life as parents. Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. We all hated that one as kids, didn't we? But it says, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. God is saying to obey your parents, especially if they're Christians. He's saying obey them, for this is right, is what the Bible says. And if they're not Christians, he's saying then you honor them. You honor them. Well, what does it mean to honor them? It means to try and understand where they're coming from. That's what it kind of means to honor them. Now, there will come a time in your life. It's come for many of us. There's others. There comes a time in our life that as children, you raise them up, right? You pour into their life. You do the best that you can. You try to teach them all these truths, knowing you're not perfect. But, you know, you do the best you can. But then as an adult, you send them out into the world. And there comes a point when as they grow, our kids, I loved when they were younger. And a lot of the reason I loved it when they were younger is because I could control them. You know what I mean? You know, no, you're not going there. No, you can't spend the night. Yep, you can go do that. Go clean your, you know, you can do that. And you're not trying to be hard on them. It's just there's some sense of control. But as they become adults, all of a sudden, you've poured everything you can into their life. And then you release them into the world. And now they get to make all the choices they want to make. And there's nothing I can do about it. That's scary as parents, isn't it? You release them into that world. What are they going to do? How's it going to work? How's it going to turn out? And that's why, moms, when you teach this doing life correctly, and you teach them about the timeless truths of respect and about honor, it gives them a platform to be able to build off of. Will our kids make the best choices in the world? I don't know. It depends. Probably not. They'll make mistakes. But that's why you and I, as moms and dads, are there for them. So when it gets in a dark place, you get to be a light in that place. And how do we get that help? How do we get that kind of advice that we need? Well, God wants us to factor into our lives the following. Now, when I was growing up, and I was in high school, it'd probably be like grade school, middle school, high school, you know, here's the phrase that I hated to hear at some point each semester of school. Mom, and it would usually be mom, but she'd say, let me see your report card. Oh, I hated that. And here's the worst part. They would give me at school the report card to take home. Mine was a little square, you know, a little like envelope, and there would be different colored cards inside, one for geometry, one for history, one for English. And then there'd be boxes where they'd mark the grade. And I grabbed that thing, and I loved being able to get it first because then I could, like, work out my defense plan, you know. Mom and Dad, that which you're about to see may look disturbing at one point, but I would like you to know that in the process of this journey, I've learned a lot and grown as a human being. You know, I'm getting my whole defense laid out, prepared, and ready to try to save my bacon, so to speak. But, see, this was the kicker. Every time I had my report card and they gave it to me, I thought, they don't really need to see this. I mean, they're busy people, right? You know, there's times I thought of forging their signature, but that was the kicker. You ever try to forge my dad's signature? Have you ever seen his signature? I don't think anybody could really do it. But I had to get his signature in order to take it back to school. There was a time when report cards were due. Now, let's fast forward to today. Thank you, Jesus, that they didn't have the system when I was in school that they have today, because our kids couldn't get away with it, right? We'd be like, what's your grade? And they'd be like, oh, I don't know, maybe a B. And we'd be like, no, it's not. We were online and we saw. You know, everything's online, right? I can tell when they're tardy. I could tell when they were absent. I could tell what assignments were missing. I could tell what assignments weren't done. I could tell what their grades were. They had no hope, and I loved it, just because it wasn't me. And they couldn't get away with it. There's coming a time when the very Spirit of God is going to say, let's talk about your report card. There's a truth within there that moms are teaching us, so when that day comes, we'll be prepared. And that truth is this. It's as if moms are saying, seek to be instructed. Let that become a principle in your life. Seek to be instructed. This means it doesn't matter how old you are. As soon as you stop learning, you stop truly living. Because if I stop learning, there's no raw material. for vibrant life to take place. You know, if I'm not in the presence of God, learning new things, hearing what he has to speak to me, then all I'm doing is rehashing things over and over and over again, talking to people about what happened back in my heyday, you know? He says, don't let there be a vibrancy to your life. Keep on learning. Let's take a look at Psalms chapter 32. Here's what God says to us. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Now, it's as if God is saying this. He says, I don't want to put a bit or a bridle in your mouth in order to make you do what I want you to do. And moms, you don't want to have to do that with your kids either, do you? No. You want them to be able to just do what it is that you've told them to do. But yet, how many times has God spoken to us? And we've kind of bucked that a little bit. He says, seek instruction in your life. Look to feed yourself, both spiritually, whether that means educationally, relationally. Grow. Let there be growth that takes place. That's why the Bible says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. You see, when the door is open, it's because you knocked. But you only knocked because you sought. And you only sought because it started with asking. You were seeking instruction. You were seeking direction. You were seeking God in your life. If you're a mom, then you're a veteran mom here. There are a lot of going to be new moms, novice moms that need your help. Young moms, there's a lot of veteran moms here that can help you out in some areas and situations, but it starts with the asking. It starts with seeking out to be instructed. You see, the true blessing, after all, of being a mom, and I want to kind of dial it back. The world defines motherhood this way, the ability to give birth, right? You know, you brought life into the world. But do you know that God sees that in such a much greater way? Being a mother comes back to the principle of stewardship. You have been entrusted to steward well the children that he's placed within your life so that when the day comes that they walk out on their own two feet, you know what I mean, that day, that whenever that comes, that as you let them go, and you have to at some point let them go, you know you've done everything you can, and now you pray. And now you pray. I think being a mom has got to be one of the hardest things. I don't think you get enough credit for the things that you do. Well, you're saying that because it's Mother's Day. Well, I'm saying it, yes, on this day for you as mothers, but I believe that every day of my life. I believe that's one of the greatest things that you could do. I want to close service this way. I just want to pray a blessing over you. Ladies, oh, Pastor, I'm not a mom. Well, yet, or can't, or, you know, well, my kids are grown up. Okay, you're still a mom. I want to be a mom, okay? I want to pray for you. This blessing is to cover you. Pastor, I'm single. Okay, but what do you want for your future? Would you just allow me this opportunity to pray this blessing over you, those that are joining us online? This is for you as well. Because I know there's many that have struggled, gone through brokenness, lost children, and you just wonder what's next. Would you join me as I pray for you? And men in the room, would you just, you don't have to do anything. Just, would you just agree with me as we pray over the women and the moms today? Father, we approach you on behalf of all mothers whom you have entrusted with the care of your most precious little ones. Lord, we thank you for creating each mom with a unique combination of gifts and talents. And we thank you for the sacrifice each mom gives to her children. For the late nights spent rocking a colicky infant, for the hands calloused from washing and wiping and scrubbing and mixing, and hugging and patting and disciplining and holding. Or we thank you for the gift of time moms give to their kids, whether it's stay-at-home moms, working moms, or moms who have a combination of the two. Lord, we thank you for their flexibility as moms, for their tirelessness, for their perseverance, and for their devotion. We pray today that you give each mom strength and help her to see in every mundane task the eternal significance that you placed on motherhood. Help her to understand that the most radical, world-changing event might just be anonymously taking place in her home right now. Lord, I pray that you'd help her to forgive those who undermine her significance. Father, I pray for single moms who must lean solely on you for the fathering of their children. And we thank you for your big arms that surround the children who may never know their earthly father. We also pray for moms who have never had the honor of bearing children, but whose nurturing extends to the many poor and needy who cross the threshold of their lives. Lord, we pray for those who desire to be mothers and for whatever reason are not yet. Lord, we speak life and ask that you will bring forth their heart's desire. We ask that you would be their daily bread of all the tired moms. We ask that you would be their source of spiritual and physical strength. And we pray that the same grace that flowed from the Father to the Son to us in salvation will flow from the mothers to their children. Lord, we pray for those expecting moms, that you will guide them through their pregnancy with health and wholeness, that you will spring forth a joy in anticipation of new life and give them wisdom and patience. We pray for those moms whose children may be living apart from godly boundaries or the way that they were raised. Give them strength, dear Lord, and remind them that they are there to pray and to be a light when their children find themselves in a dark place. We pray for those moms who have broken relationships right now with their children. Your word says that you're near those who have a broken heart. Lord, we're asking that you would heal that brokenness in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for those moms who have seen their child through this time here on earth and have seen them pass into eternity. You of all people understand the hurt and the pain and the loss. Jesus, heal their heart and give them hope. Help each mother to rest in the knowledge that they are but stewards of your children and that only your spirit can produce change into the hearts of each boy and girl. May each mother find rest in you today. And most of all, Lord, on this day in which we honor mothers, may we love and cherish the special women who have borne us, who have nurtured us, and who have prayed for our well-being. May our hearts overflow with gratitude to you, who formed and knitted each of us in our mother's womb. We speak blessings today on each and every mother, and we do that in Jesus' name. Amen, church.